It's Rob Ray, the music professor on 102.9 The Whale.
It is an honor for me right now to have with me Vicki Lawrence. Vicki, how are you today?
I'm fine, professor. Thank you.
Vicki is going to be appearing at the CATE, the Katharine Hepburn Center in Old Saybrook, July 31st and August 1st. Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show. Have you performed in Connecticut before?
I have, and I'm so looking forward to it. So beautiful up there.
It really is.
This time it will be summer.
That's right. That's right.
I know.
So
just a lovely spot you have there.
It Connecticut.
A lovely theater.
Connecticut is a beautiful state to be in. So
it sure is.
You started out as a teenager doing something that doesn't happen today. You wrote a fan letter to Carol Burnett. What made you do that?
Do you think anybody writes fan letters anymore?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, I get fan mail, but it's usually, can I please have a picture? And that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think the selfie has become the new autograph. So there you have it. It's not, nobody does the things that I did when I was young. Nobody has had the experiences I've had in this business, because it's just completely changed. Anyway, I was in a contest, local contest, short story, because I do tell this story in the show. Everybody said I looked like Carol, so I wrote her a fan letter, and she answered it, came to see me. Happened that she had just moved out to California and had just started putting together the Carol Burnett Show. So incredible serendipitous timing.
So why did you write to Carol Burnett? Were you just a fan from the beginning, or?
Just because everybody said I looked like her, and I was a big fan letter writer when I was a kid. My mom said, why don't you write a letter to Carol? Now, I don't remember. I mean, I remember kind of Carol. I remember seeing Once Upon a Mattress on television.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing her in a show that she was on with Bob Newhart, a very short-lived show called The Entertainers. But I watched that mostly because I had a crush on John Davidson. We still, when we get together, have people say, God, you guys look alike.
Oh, that's
there you have it.
That's fantastic. Now, so your first experience as a professional actress was on the Carol Burnett Show.
The drama teacher in my high school, I was not in the drama class, but he kind of kidnapped me to play Lady Macbeth because he needed someone serious, he thought.
Wrong.
Little did he know. Anyway, yeah, that was my acting experience. I had a good bit of stage experience because I sang with Young Americans when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, we did a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go on the road with Johnny Mathis. We got to sing at the Greek Theater all the background vocals for Henry Mancini. We did a Christmas album. We did a lot of fun stuff. We did the Andy Williams Show, which, as a matter of fact, is a really good story. I sent Carol the fan letter. She comes to see me. She said, I'm very pregnant. As soon as I have the baby, we will get in touch with you. And so like maybe a month or so later, the appearance that the Young Americans had made on the Andy Williams Show, if people remember the old Andy Williams Show, I had a tiny little solo in the body of our big medley. And her manager had not yet moved out to California. He was still in New York. So he saw the show East Coast time. He called her and said, I have found the kid to play your sister. And Carol said, really? Who is it? He said, I don't know her name, but she sings with the Young Americans and she looks just like you. And Carol said, I've already met her. How weird is that? It's very weird. I mean, we still say it's like we were meant to be together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how helpful was the cast in teaching you kind of the ropes when you the Carol Burnett Show debuted? Because you had Harvey Korman and you had Lyle Waggoner.
Well, Lyle was a newcomer also. who got the job as the handsome announcer, mostly because Carroll said he was the only one that came into the auditions that had a sense of humor and was also very handsome. But Lyle married a Miss St. Louis, and they had moved out to California for him to pursue a career. So he was very new at it as well. So I'd have to say it was, and we became really good friends. He'd take me home at lunchtime, and his wife would cook us lunch, and we became pretty good friends. the good old days.
Yeah.
And they were living in a tiny little apartment in Hollywood. It was, the old days.
Wow.
Anyway, it was Harvey that really taught me most everything that I know, I would say. He really took me under his wing, I think. He said, forget stage right and stage left. You can't even find the ladies' room. So I think he determined to make me a comedian. He was nothing if not a team player, and he was very serious about his comedy. So, I think he decided to make me palatable. Funny.
Well, it was certainly a different time. I remember bonding with my family, and we would spend Saturday nights, my brother, my mom and dad, and my grandmother, the five of us would be watching TV on Saturday night. We never went anywhere. It was all in the family. It was MASH. It was the Jeffersons. It was Bob Newhart, and we wrapped it up with the Carol Burnett Show.
I know. What a lineup, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. How was it working with all of them on the Carol Burnett Show?
Oh, it was. We didn't really work. And Carol always calls it playing in the sandbox. And that's really what we did. We just had fun. And it was such a well-run, I mean, it was a very tightly run ship. If you had a schedule, a rehearsal schedule, that said you were going to be finished on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, you could make a dentist appointment for 4 o'clock and keep it. It just totally ran on time. Incredible people in all the right places. And it was like a dream. I mean, I've never seen anything like it since.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing that even comes close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the way she liked to work. She liked to have fun. And, you know, she wanted a schedule where she could be home to have dinner with the kids. So she didn't come in. She'd take them to school. She'd drop them off. She wanted to be home for dinner. So that's the way the show ran.
Wow.
And it ran like a top.
That's pretty amazing. So now in 1974, a sketch comes out called The Family. Now, were you expecting to play the daughter, Eunice?
I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't supposed to be in that sketch.
Really?
No, it was just written as a one-time sketch, and Carol didn't like the part of Mama. It was written for her, but she didn't like it, which was very upsetting to the writers. She said, "But I think we could." She was going to be Mama, and they were going to guest star to play Eunice. She said, "I think we should make Vicky Mama, and I will play Eunice." And the writers were just furious. They were. You know, and then when they heard us, she wanted to do it Southern. Carol did. And it was never intended to be Southern. It was just supposed to be good old Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the writers were just doubly upset. They were so upset. They walked out the first time we did it for them.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that sketch became, it started to appear more on the show, and then it turned into a weekly TV series that aired for 6 seasons. How did that become a weekly series, and what was your reaction when you were approached about it?
You know, I was approached about doing Mama as a spinoff in the 7th season of Carol Burnett.
Okay.
So, 8th, 9th season. 9th season, I think, because I had just been pregnant. And her husband was Joe Hamilton. He was the executive producer, and he wanted to spin Mama off as a sitcom. And I said, I don't think. What about Carol and Harvey? He said, well, they'll come and guest once in a while. I said, but what if it's not funny? What if it doesn't work? He said, then you'll come back here. I said, with my tail tucked between my legs? No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Plus, I had just been pregnant for 9 months, and I really didn't want to play an old lady.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that went away. Carol, of course, was thrilled because she said we get to keep doing it on my show. And I would say those characters were arguably her favorites on the Burnett show because they were just so well written. You know, they were like little slices of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the show, let's see, we ran 11 years. When the show was over, Carol still had a commitment to do one special with CBS. So she commissioned those writers to write a teleplay called Eunice. And basically it was the whole story from beginning to end. Mama even died at the end of this. And she brought the script out one day. We were in Hawaii. She threw it down in front of my face. I was face down on a chaise lounge. She said, read this, see if you want to do it. And we did Eunice. CBS held it for the longest time because they didn't think it was going to do well in the ratings. When they finally did run it, it did incredibly well in the ratings. I got an Emmy nomination for that thing. And it was so hysterical. I was up against all these very serious actresses. It would be like if Katharine Hepburn were, you know, one of the nominees. It was ridiculous. It was Claire Bloom. It was Rita Moreno. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And when they announced the category, I was sitting next to Harvey, and he grabbed my hand. He said, sweetie, you are so not going to win, but I am so flippin' proud of you.
Nice.
Anyway, they invited us up to the house, Carol and her husband, to screen the thing before it ever went on the air. And as soon as the credits ran, all of them were all over me. You have to do this as a series. And I said, but what about you guys? Carol said, we'll come and visit, but you don't need us. You don't. You need to do it as a series. She said, Vicki, this old lady will take care of you. You need to do it. So I did, and there you have it.
And
she has taken lovely care of me.
Yes, she has. She certainly has, even today.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
So how does it feel that you can still watch The Carol Burnett Show on MeTV and you can still watch Mama's Family on Catchy Comedy?
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Really. But it's still, I think most of it still really holds up. Largely, probably, Carol thinks, because we weren't very topical. So, you know, it's just funny as funny. I mean, it's like watching the old Honeymooners. I still watch that and laugh at those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good comedy.
Yeah.
So they're still just running. And honestly, the popularity of both of those shows is just kind of overwhelming. Yeah. I have, you know, fans that are, I don't know, 10, 12. I have little bitty fans even. 5, 4. And, you know, their grandparents are showing them all the good old shows. So,
yeah. Yeah,
they're still around and it's incredible.
Yeah, those older shows really are wonderful to still be able to watch.
Yeah, it's just like really a slice of comfort, I think.
Yes.
You know, during the pandemic, I have never gotten so much fan mail. And I can only think that people took up a new hobby and started collecting autographs. Because as I said, I think the selfie is the new autograph, really.
Yeah.
Or their parents or grandparents were introducing them to these old shows because they were just so comfortable, so easy to watch, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of took your mind off everything else. It really was the good old days.
It,
and I mean, you know, everybody still watches I Love Lucy and we still laugh at her.
Yeah, that's true.
The old shows are, you know, kind of the best.
Mm-hmm. They certainly are. Well, you've certainly had a varied career. When I was 9 years old in 1973, the radio station that I'm talking to you from now is the radio station I listened to as a 9-year-old. And all of a sudden, I hear this song from Vicki Lawrence called The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. Mm-hmm. How did you come to record that?
You know, there are so many crazy, ridiculous things that have happened to me. My life has, my career certainly has been just a series of accidents. And so I put all these crazy stories together when I put together my show.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, I also tell this story to them. I was married to the songwriter who wrote that song, and he hated it. So I had to do the demo for him, and his producer could not give it away. Everybody said it's going to offend the South. So literally the producer finally threw up his hands and said, let's just go in the studio and do it with Vicky. So that was another incredible accident.
Wow.
I know.
And it hit number one.
Unbelievable.
So I guess it didn't offend the South too much.
Oh, they love it. I still hear from, especially people in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you really? Yeah?
They love it. Yeah, yeah. And I always give them a bit of trivia. There are 5 songs that went to number one that are all about Georgia. Can you name them? Hmm. And they go away scratching their head and thinking. It's a good trivia question, though.
Yeah, it is a good trivia question. Georgia on my mind, one of them?
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Rainy Night in Georgia hit number one.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm thinking.
I think so. That's the only one that comes to, those two are the only ones that come to mind as of right now.
I think maybe that was one of them. And then Gladys Knight.
Oh, of course.
To Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is, and it's a tough one. People always get stumped on this one. The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Ah, yeah. The Charlie Daniels Band. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you want to pursue a career in music, or was that to you just a one-time thing?
Well, it was crazy. It took like 8 months for that thing to become a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, my husband had, it just sort of, I don't know, I think it precipitated an already dysfunctional marriage. So I was going to get a divorce when I did the album. And I just felt like, oh my God, I just want to go back to the Carol Burnett Show and laugh and have fun.
Yeah.
So I really didn't pursue it.
Oh, okay.
But so I got a divorce, but I got a gold record and I got the dog.
You did okay.
The only thing I wanted was the dog.
Yeah, you did okay with that. And I believe you were presented with the gold record by someone special.
By Dick Clark.
Really?
Yeah, you know, they wouldn't let me do that song on the Burnett Show until it was a hit.
No kidding.
And I kept thinking, well, gosh, if I could do it on the show, people would hear it.
Right.
But it was, you know, it was busy climbing all over the country. But they didn't want to, no, they wouldn't let me sing it until it was a hit. So Carol re-presented me with the gold record, but I actually got it from Dick Clark on American Bandstand.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you, yeah. Well, let's see. So we've covered acting, we've covered singing, but you've also been a game show host and a talk show host. What made you want to branch out?
Well, the game show, Win, Lose, or Draw, I did right at the end of Mama's Family. I was doing both.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing Mama's Family, and then like every other weekend, we'd shoot all weekend doing game shows. And I mostly did that because I thought it would be fun to be me before I'm not anymore, you know? To get on camera and, oh, look, she's an actual person. She's not just mama.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is still, people are still, you know, the kids especially are surprised that, you know, they, a lot of them think I'm an old lady. Yeah. And, so when they see me, you know, and grandma says, this is mama, they're like, wow, really? I mean, you look really pretty. This is a good thing about playing an old lady.
Yeah.
When people see you in person, they go, wow, you look great. Yeah.
That's fantastic. How did you enjoy being a talk show host?
I did it for the wrong company.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Okay.
We just did not get along, and we didn't agree as to how the business of show business should run. And I'm...
Yeah.
Felt like I had learned from the very best lady in the world that you're supposed to be having a good time. And behind the scenes, it was not a good time at all. On camera, so much fun.
Yeah.
A lot of work, though, you know, because we would shoot 2, sometimes 3 shows a day.
Wow.
And I would go home, and the next morning, the neighbor would say, who was on? And I'd go, I have no idea. Your brain is just a scramble after you do three of those because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It really is. Keeping everything straight. And
Yeah.
But fun. It was fun.
Well, you've had an amazing career, Vicki Lawrence, and you're going to be at the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center in Old Saybrook, July 31st and August 1st. It's Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show. We are really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to being there. And I always wonder, because there's a beautiful picture of Katharine in the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder, what in the world would she think of this show? I always talk to her before I go on, though.
Yeah. Well, Vicki Lawrence, I can't thank you enough for giving us a few moments of your time. And we know that show at the Kate and Old Saybrook is going to be a big success for you.
Thank you.
Vicki Lawrence has had an amazing career. The Carol Burnett Show, Mama's Family. She had a number one single in 1973, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. She hosted a game show, Win, Lose, or Draw, as well as her very own talk show. And she's going to be talking about her life and singing The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. And of course, she'll be performing as Mama at the Kate in Old Saybrook, July 31st at 7:30, and Saturday afternoon, August 1st at 1:30. It's Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show, and you can get your tickets at thekate.org.